And we find that in the Christian faith, Christians oftentimes bump heads. And like I said in the first two messages that I preached in the series, if you are a part of any type of relationship, a family relationship, a relationship with coworkers, relationship in organizations, and even in the church, that it's inevitable that you will bump heads with other people. There's no question about that. At some point, you will bump heads with other individuals.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3.
Psalm 23, and we've been looking at verse 5 in particular, talking about the shepherd's care for the sheep and how that the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep, because a lot of times they would run into each other, they would bump heads together, and as a result of that, some of the sheep would get hurt, some would even get maimed, and others would die as a result of this running together and bumping heads. And so in order to avoid any death or serious injury, the shepherd would put oil or grease over the head and the face of the sheep so that when they ran together and they would bump heads, they would just slide off of each other. And we find that in the Christian faith, Christians oftentimes bump heads. And like I said in the first two messages that I preached in the series, if you are a part of any type of relationship, a family relationship, a relationship with coworkers, relationship in organizations, and even in the church, that it's inevitable that you will bump heads with other people. There's no question about that. At some point, you will bump heads with other individuals. Mark that in your book. Now, the thing that we need to realize is that God has anointed us with oil. He has anointed us with the oil of the Holy Spirit, so that whenever we bump heads with one another, that there is a process in which when we come together and the conflict takes place and the strife takes place, that as we run and bump heads, we can just slide off of one another and not do, and here goes the key now, saints, not do any injury or damage or even death to relationships, because we've been anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. So the title of our series is Bumping Heads with Other Saints. In previous messages, we've talked about the fact that in the Bible, God's people bumped heads. And we gave illustrations of God's people who have bumped heads. We see that sometimes people bump heads and Satan is at the center of it. That some people allow Satan to come in and cause conflict between them, and instead of resolving that conflict, they allow it to go on and Satan gets the victory. And we saw that conflict taking place between Jesus and Peter, where Peter was telling Christ that he wasn't going to have to die and have to go to the cross. And Jesus turned to Peter in the midst of the conflict and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So Satan is in a lot of conflict. Satan is in the middle of a lot of conflict. And so we need to be sensitive that when we go through times of conflict, one of the first questions that we might want to ask ourselves is, Satan at the center of this conflict? Sometimes conflicts arise because people don't get their needs met. People may be in a relationship and they're not getting their needs met. People may be a part of a body and they're not getting their needs met. And as a result of that, conflict arises. In Acts chapter 6, we see the conflict that arose between the Grecian believers and the Hebrew believers because the widows were being neglected. And there was a conflict. But thank God for some Holy Ghost anointed men in the church that were able to diffuse that situation and allow things to get back on track. Unmet needs. Sometimes when people have incompatible goals, that if you have a desire to see one thing and somebody else has a desire to see something else, that there may be conflict. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago that there was an article that was written called The 10 Most Predictable Times of Church Conflict. And I have them right here, but I'm only going to focus on one. The first, number one predictable time of church conflict is Easter. And I was trying, well, Easter, why is that? You know, I guess because of all the programs and all the things associated with that, that there's just a great potential and a breeding ground for conflict. But the second one on the list is stewardship campaigns and building projects. So, and I already see it. And that fits right in here to what we're talking about is incompatible goals. You know, some people think we should do this. Some people think we should do that. And so because people's goals are not the same, because goals might not be compatible, then guess what? That's a great potential for church conflict. And so what I'm saying now is, Bethany, I'm saying to Bethany and all of you who may not be members of Bethany, that you really need to be sensitive that when two individuals or two sets of individuals or two groups of individuals have incompatible goals, where one wants to go in this direction and one thinks we ought to go in that direction, that is a great time for conflict within the life of a relationship, an organization, and even the church. And what will happen is if we let it get out of hand, then it'll turn into a Satan-inspired conflict. Satan will get in the midst of it. And so I'm begging and pleading with the members that as we enter into this time, once again, identified by the experts who have studied this, saying that stewardship campaigns and building projects are the second most predictable times of conflict, that you would determine in your heart that you would not, once again, not to say that you're going to agree with everything and all that, but that you would not be the source of the conflict, that you would seek God. And you know, one thing I heard a preacher, I was listening to a preacher yesterday, and he said, if you got God in you and I got God in me, that the God in me is not going to let me hate the God in you. Now, that's not, man, that blew me away when I thought about that. That just blew me away. That if you are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've got God in you, that the God in you is not going to let me hate, let you hate the God in me. God would be a freak. He would be schizophrenic if he let you hate me and me hate you, or me have problems with you and I have problems with, and vice versa. If we got issues and we both got God in us, then and we can't resolve them, what are we saying? We're saying that God is a freak. God is schizophrenic, which I don't think is the case. So, there may be some other things that we might need to look at. No, I'm not even going to go down that road today. But incompatible goals can be a source of conflict. Personality conflicts. Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians chapter 4. Godly women that labored with Paul in the gospel had conflict. Labored with him in the gospel. And now these two ladies were in conflict because of their personalities. And, sometimes we got to realize that that our personalities, we rub up against each other. That some people are strong-willed and aggressive, others are kind of laid back. And then, sometimes you get two strong-willed and aggressive individuals working together, and guess what? There's going to be a lot of bumping up against each other. But that's all right. I'm saying that's all right. It's how you work through it that becomes the issue. Different opinions. Paul and Barnabas, we talked about them. That Paul wanted to, or Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul didn't want to take him. They had a difference of opinion. And the Bible said that the contention was so sharp that Paul and Barnabas split. Difference of opinion. And then sometimes pride. people will allow pride because you don't want to humble yourself. Because you on this ego trip and you think it got to be your way and there's no other way, and that pride enters in and you get swelled up in the big head, and as a result of that, nobody can talk to you, nobody can share things with you, and so somebody tries to approach you on something, and because you got all this pride in you, that what happens? Conflict arises. And we saw that a couple of weeks ago with Peter and Paul. Then we moved on to Galatians. Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 5. We'll spend a minute there. Galatians chapter 5. And the first point that we make when we said bumping heads without doing damage, we said that believers can bump heads without doing damage because they have been anointed with power over the flesh. That, you know, when we bump heads, and as a result of the bumping heads, there's issues afterwards. If we don't get those issues under control, if those issues go unresolved, it's a matter of, at that point, the flesh taking over, the flesh being in control. That's the bottom line right there. When people allow unresolved conflict to reside in relationships, you have been dominated by the flesh. You have allowed the flesh to take control. I heard the saying that says, two natures beat within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And you know, that's the truth, saints. That's the truth. That if you feed the flesh, if you just sit around and seethe and moan and are angry over a conflict and you just feed off of that and your flesh feeds off of that, then guess what? That's going to dominate your life. That's going to become a life-dominating problem. And as a result of that, you will just sit there and continue to feed the flesh. Instead of trying to go and get that thing straightened out, you feed the flesh. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, unresolved conflict. We're brooding. Anger, bitterness has settled in. That's just an opportunity for the flesh to dominate your life. And he says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you would be led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery. And then he talked about the ones that we looked at a couple of weeks ago: hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, and heresies. Let me just remind you what they were. Hatred, and that is to not allow bitterness and hatred to reside in your heart due to unresolved conflict. That you gotta deal with that. He says that if you have hatred in your life, in your heart, that you are being led by the flesh. Variance, and we said that he says, put an end to ongoing conflict. That if there's any ongoing conflict, if you just stop and think right now, is there an ongoing conflict between you and somebody in the body? And you know, I know there is, because once again, the reason that we're doing this series is because I sent out the little questionnaires and ask people, if you could hear a series of messages preached at Bethany, what would you like to hear? And unchallenged, the number one answer, not necessarily in these words, but all hitting around this topic, was dealing with other saints in the body, dealing with conflict. That was by far the number one. So that tells me that there's probably issues in people's hearts. So, you know, we need to realize that if there is, that God is telling you, you got to stop it. You got to put an end to it right now. Don't let it go on. And once again, if you let it go on, he says that you're in the flesh. Just go ahead and mark it down. Write it in your devotion. When you get up, when you get up and have devotions, when you read through your chronological Bible with Pastor Glaze as we read through the Bible this year, when you read the chronological Bible, just go ahead and put down in your little journal, I'm in the flesh today. Because I know there's a conflict that I haven't resolved. All right? jealousy, and do away with resentment that comes out of an envious heart. Wrath, control behavior that leads to anger. Don't allow anger to dominate your life. Strife, do not step on other people to accomplish your goals. Now, we put these all in the notes a couple weeks ago, so if you have them, you can go back and refer to them. Here goes one right here. Seditions. Do not allow a disagreeable attitude to turn into a divisive spirit. You know, just because you've had a disagreement with somebody, don't allow that to turn into a spirit of division. And then the last one is heresies, and that is don't try to get others on your side during a conflict. All right? So, and if you do it, just go ahead and mark it. Just write it down. I'm in the flesh. Plain and simple, I'm in the flesh. All right? Now, let's move on from that point to point number two. And you can look at your notes this morning. Bumping heads without doing damage. The first point was believers can bump heads without doing damage because they have been anointed with power over the flesh. The second point is this. Believers can bump heads without doing damage because they have agape love. Let that sink in for a minute. Agape love. You're going to say, well, Pastor, what is agape love? I'm glad that you asked me that question. 1 Corinthians 13. Agape love. Now, either you got it or you don't have it. Now, if you're saved and you got the Spirit of God in you, then you've got agape love. He says here in verse 4, love, we're talking about agape love now, suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what, if you are saved and you got love in your heart, it's not this this fake love. See, a lot of Christians got fake love. You know, it's just like the lady who broke off her relationship, her engagement with her fiance. And she wrote a letter back. And she said, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt ever since breaking off our engagement. Please take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. See, that's fake love. That's fake love. And you know, a lot of God's people got fake love. You know, we talk a good game and we say that we love each other. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that love is demonstrated. It's just like in one African village, there was a missionary, and Christmas time, they weren't used to this whole idea of giving gifts. And so they one Christmas, they saw that this was something, a tradition that was established, and so they, next Christmas, gave gifts. And this one little boy gave a gift to his teacher, and it was a rock. And he brought the gift back and put it on his desk. And the teacher said, oh, that's such a wonderful gift. And he said, yeah. He said, I walked 3 miles down to the river to get it. And she said, oh, she said, you didn't have to do that to give me this gift. And he said, walking down there was a part of the gift. And you see, love is action. You know, the rock was not that valuable. But what made that rock valuable? That little boy walked 3 miles to get it, to come back and give it to his teacher. That's love. I've said this before. It don't cost anything to run your mouth. Anybody can run their mouth. It don't cost a dime to run your mouth. But now Paul says that if you got agape love, and I want to take a couple of these characteristics and relate them to conflict. Because if you've got agape love, there's no conflict that God's people should not be able to work through. No conflict that you should not be able to work through. The first thing we see, and like I said, I'm picking those out and trying to relate them to this whole issue conflict, look at the first one in your notes. Suffering long. He said love is long suffering. You know what the Greek word is? Makrothumea. And it means to take a long time before you burn. Take a long time before you get heated up. How do we apply that to conflict? Well, love does not get irritated or angry too quickly with others. You know, some people, man, they got quick tempers. They got hot heads, and they will just jump off at the first offense. But if you've got love, you know, somewhere in your heart, the Holy Ghost is going to say to you, look, just calm down a little bit. Just step back a little bit. But see, you know, people that are not controlled, well, you know, that's just the way I am. Well, you don't need to be that way. If you're not, wait a minute. Somebody help me here. If I'm saved and I got the Spirit of God living in me, and the Spirit of God says, once again, I've been anointed. I can bump heads. I can bump heads with anybody. Why? Because I'm anointed with the Holy Spirit. So if I got the Holy Spirit in me and I bump heads with somebody, and God says to me in his word, look, don't be too quick to get angry, especially in a way where you are outwardly manifesting that anger, then I must be able to do that. You can do it. You know, you might be hollering at your kids, or as Brother Ruffin put it in great discussion with your spouse. You know, we had those are good discussions. And you answer the phone, and all of a sudden, hey, praise the Lord, how you doing? You know, that lets you know. That lets you know that you can control this thing, that you don't have to let it get out of hand. And so we see here, he says, love suffers long. That if you've got agape love, you shouldn't be too quick to get heated up. The second thing we see here, oh man, he said, love does not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? It rude conduct. The Greek word means their rude conduct. Love does not treat others rude, indecent, or careless. And to put it in the words of the young people, love don't act ignorant. All right? It don't, you know, if you got love and you don't show yourself, you don't show your colors, but you control that. And see, that's when conflict gets out of hand, when folk act ugly. If you act ugly, then I'm going to compliment you and act ugly too. And then that's when the conflict is heightened. Proverbs said that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So if somebody comes off and they are behaving themselves unseemly, or they are acting ignorant or acting rude, if you go down and get down and dirty with them too, then guess what? Y'all going to have a full-scale, all-out conflict. But if you've got the power of God in you, if you've got agape love living in you, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, that you are not going to act ugly. You are not going to act rude whenever conflict takes place. You know, praise God for saints who have mastered this right here in the Spirit. Praise God for saints. Because you know what? Conflicts happen every day. Every day, man. The potential for you to go off on somebody is there every day with the slightest thing. But sometimes you got to stop and check yourself. If the Holy Spirit has anointed you, then you know one thing? The Holy Spirit will convict you right in your place. But you know the problem is that a lot of God's people are not anointed with the Holy Spirit, so that when something happens,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.